some way, we're gonna make it. No matter what the test, whatever comes our way, we're gonna make it. With Jesus on
good morning. This is Dr. Harding, and it's that time again, and I am just happy to be with you to bring you moments of inspiration. That's right, moments of inspiration. And so we just want to thank God for you, and thank God for all of you that are watching us today in moments of inspiration. It's just good to be alive. It's just good to be here. It's just good to come before you one more time with some moments of inspiration. That's right, moments of inspiration, not moments of frustration, but moments of inspiration. And allow me, before I pray, my opening prayer is to give thanks and give congratulations to all of those that have served our country in the war and have served as in any of the military branches, whether it was the Army, the Navy, the Marine, the Air Force, or the Coast Guard, or whatever you, wherever you serve. Then I want to congratulate you for being a part of this. And this day is set aside for to honor our veterans and to honor them. And I do give respect to them. And I want you to know that I pay the highest regard. My brother was in the military, and my baby son was in the Marine. And so I do understand that some of the struggles, not totally understand everything, but some of the struggles that they go through, leaving their families and their loved ones and being there committed to what God have set them to do at that time. And I just want you to know that we give our condolences to those that lost loved ones in the war. We give our appreciation to all of you, all of those that served in the military worldwide. Where you serve, thank God for you. And thank God for you tuning in to Moments of Inspiration. And thank God we see you from Pakistan. We're glad to have you here. Patricia Chambers, glad to have you. Sister Philip, I won't be able to call all the name, but I just want to let you know that I thank God for you tuning in. Let me open up in prayer. Dear God, I thank you for being who you are. Thank you, God, for everything that you've already done and everything that you're going to do. And I thank you, God, that I have the opportunity today to share, God, a word with your people. And I'm asking, God, that you would send that special anointing that breaks yokes, that pull down stronghold. In the name of Jesus, I pray for those that are sick. I pray for those that are still in the military, wherever they are stationed in this world. I pray for them, God. I pray, God, for the men and women and families, God, that are back home waiting for word from their loved one. I pray, God, that you would lift up hung down head, lift heavy burdens. I pray, God, for our country at this time, God. We are going through some crisis, but I know, God, that you're going to bring everything out all right as you have already purposed in your mind. And I thank you, Father, right now, that you are our all in all, that there's no weapon formed against us that's going to prosper. And God, in everything, God, that we are doing, you're going to bless us. And I pray, Father, for the sick. I pray for those that are bedridden. I pray for those that are convalescent. I pray for our children. I pray, God, for our schools and all the things that are happening during this pandemic. I pray, God, for your will to be done. And then, God, we ask you to continue in thanking you in advance for taking us through, thanking you for your protection, thanking you, God, for your blessings. And we give you the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Thank God. Amen. God bless you, and thank you for tuning in to Moments of Inspiration. That's right, Moments of Inspiration. Now, on today, I want to share with you and put some light on the revelation of God's glory through his believers. That's right, I want to talk to you about what God have revealed to you. You may not even know that God have revealed it to you, but God has revealed some things to you for this day and for this time. He have revealed some things to you, giving you a revelation how to come through what you are going through. That's right, how to come through what you are going through. And so I want to share this with you, and this is coming from you that are watching. If you want to get your Bible or your telephone, your cell phone, but your cell phone you're watching me on, but you may know how to do both at the same time, and your scripture. We're going to Romans chapter 8. And we're going to begin reading at verse 18. And this is to tell you that what God is doing. I want to share some light on the revelation of God's glory through you or through us. God has given us a revelation for this time. And if we know how to apply this revelation that God has given us, it's going to bless us in getting through this and understanding everything that's going on. Now, you won't understand everything clearly, but it will shed light on you as to what happened. And Paul was writing to the Romans. And in chapter 8 and verse 18, he said, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us." And so what he was saying, Paul said, what we are going through now, he was telling them, what you're going through now, it would be nothing when it's compared to what God have already prepared for us. This suffering. And when we talk about suffering, it's assuming. Sometimes it's just assuming some things won't work out right. That's a suffering. We can pray for our country now because we are in that stage. We voted more than a week ago, and yet the president-elect have not been honored and made welcome. And so he's standing in that suffering part. For Paul is telling us that God is going to reveal to us some things, and for the suffering that we are going through, and for all these things that we're assuming, and some for what we have, we got pains and we have affliction simply because of evil folks or people doing stuff that causes us stress. But think about this, going through this, it's stress, it's anger. Sometimes it is just look like it's more than you can bear. That's why we need to pray for the world. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our elected officials. They have power over us. They make rules that affect us. And so we should keep them in prayer. And so Paul was saying, but what God is going to reveal to us, my God, is much more valuable than what we are going through right now. Then in verse 19, he said, for the earnest expectation, and I don't know what you are expecting, but the earnest expectation of the creature, that's us, waiting for the manifestation of the Son of God. Now, when he talk about this expectation, it means to watch with intense anticipation, to think good with great intent. That's what it means when you watching and you got this expectation. I believe that all of us today have an expectation of something we want God to do for us. And the thing that we want God to do for us, we are praying, believing, and expecting. That's right. We are expecting blessings from God. I am expecting, and I believe that you ought to do the same thing. I am expecting unexpected blessing. In other words, I am expecting blessings that I don't even know about, unexpected blessing to come toward me and our ministries and you that are watching and you that are hearing God's word. Unexpected blessing. And so think about what expectation is. It means to watch. So I want you to start watching, start waiting, start anticipating, start thinking about the great intensity that God is going to do for you. It's a waiting for. It's that expecting the thing that you are waiting for to be fulfilled. I don't know what you have in your mind that you've been praying about, but whatever it is, you got to wait until God fulfill it. You got to say, if he don't do it today, I know he's going to do it tomorrow. If he don't do it tomorrow, I know he's going to do it next week. But don't give up on your prayer. Don't give up on your hope. Don't give up on what you've asked God for, because God will surely bring it to pass. That's right. He'll surely bring it to pass. And so you have to be steadfast. And that word steadfast means stand still. Don't move. You know, if you want a pillar, or if you want anything to be steadfast, then you add extra clamps to it, or you stabilize it. So in this, be steadfast. Don't be wavery, like, you know, the waves on the sea. You come in and you go out. You come in and you go out. Oscillated or vacillated. You turn. And all. No, be steadfast. Stand on God's word. Don't move off of God's word. When God have given you, you've asked God for something, and this is what Paul said, wait for it. Wait for it and be until it manifests. I mean, until it's revealed of the sons of God, until God allows his son, Jesus Christ, to be revealed in you, and that you know 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 that God is going to do what you have asked him to do. And verse 20 said, for the creature, that's us, are made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who have subjected the same in hope. And so what we have to understand then is that God have given us a hope, and the hope is in Jesus Christ. And so in him we live, we move, and we have our being. And so therefore, we don't use this hope that God have given us. We do not use it just say, when I get in trouble, I'm going to call on Jesus and Jesus is going to do it. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. Not when you get in trouble. You call on him while things, you have an opportunity to call on him. When your mind is stable, when your heart is fixed, and when things are right. That's why they said, you don't prepare for war. When a war break out, you're gonna miss it. You got to prepare for war before. That's why they put them in boot camp. And in boot camp, they want to overtrain them. They want to put more pressure on them. They want to see, can they stand? And this is Veteran Day. They want to make sure that you be able to stand when you get in front of the enemy. And so if you can't make it through boot camp, you can't go over the walls, you can't crawl under the wire, you can't stand the shooting, and you can't stand all of the discipline, then they would X you out in boot camp. They don't want to send you over war or overseas or somewhere else to fight for us when you don't have enough courage to take the discipline. Discipline is to control your mind. It controls your attitude. And there's a lot of things that Christians, people need to be disciplined in. And that's what Paul said, for the creature was made subject to vanity. So when God created us, there's vanity. There's a lot of emptiness in us. There's a lot of things that we don't see and we don't understand and we don't know. And so we was created with this vanity, this worthlessness, and not willingly, but by reason of him who have subjected the same in hope. And so God made us where we're not independent. We are dependent. We are dependent on God. We have to depend on God. It's in him we live and we move and we have our being. And so Paul was getting them ready, telling them what they had to do and what they need to do. And when they had these things to make them feel subjected and vanity and putting them in a place that they didn't want to be. You know, if there's some time that God put us in a place that we don't want to be, and the reason why God does that, he's testing us. You know, if everything was just joy, everything was just what you like and everything was just like you, then what would you have to pray for? What would you have to pray for if you just, everything was just okie dokie and everything was just okay and everything just is my way? Then you don't have any growth, no growth. But God allowed vanity, this emptiness to be in you, and Christ is the only one can fill it. Nobody else can fill it. Your husband can't, your wife can't, your boyfriend, girlfriend, your closest friend, your relative, they won't be able to fill that void. The only somebody can fill that void is God. And so if you allow God to work in you, he will fill that void. And that's what Paul was talking about that we we are subject to the same hope. We're all subject to it. We got to believe and trust in Jesus Christ. And then verse 21 said, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So what he said, if we put our trust in God, this is Paul building us up for it now. If we put our trust in God, God is building us up. The trials, the things that we thought come to hurt us, what God is doing, he said, I want to reveal to you my glory. I want to reveal to you my help. I want you to understand that I'm for you. And if I'm for you, I'm more than the world against you. And so God is building up this. He's causing sometimes allowing struggles, allowing pain, allowing mistreatment, allowing disruption, all of these things so that you can trust in him. And when you trust in him, then God is going to deliver us from this bondage of corruption in the glory and liberty of the children of God. In Christ, there's freedom. In Christ, there's liberty. In him, we live, we move, we have our being. And so trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. That's right. Don't lean to your own understanding. Trust in God. Trust him. Trust him. Believe you me that God will open doors for you and make ways for you. Now, the verse 22 said, we know this whole creation groans and travail. They groan and travail for God. What is groaning? What is that groaning that we don't understand? It's an involuntary, under pressure, or pain, or suffering, and it's not something that you do of yourself. You be groaning and hurting, and you can't explain it. You don't know what happened, and all you're saying is, "Oh God, all this hurt. God, help me here." It's a pain. Sometimes it's a physical pain, and sometimes it is a mental pain. But you're groaning inside. You're hurting, and this is what Paul said. He said, "For we know that the whole creation groan and travail it in pain until now." Now this travail, this word travail, come from the connotation of a pain that women have. I don't know about these pains. I just heard what the women's told us, that that birth pain is one of the greatest pain that you can have, in the body. And they talk about this pain that come, and think about this, all of this birth pain that come before the baby come, and the pain that they have to go through to push, to shelve, and they have to shelve and push muscle for the baby to come, and they're hurting. But they know once the baby come, the pain is out and joy is there to see what God has produced beside pain, on the other side of pain. This is travailing. And so while we're going through and while we're travailing, while we're hurting, there's a baby's coming. That baby need to be birthed. It may be a baby of joy. It may be you may be giving birth to some faith. You may be giving birth to healing. But keep pushing. Don't stop. Don't give up in the middle of this. Because if you give up, you never know what the outcome going to be. And this is what Paul said. For we know that the whole creation groans and travail in pain until now. Until what? They was groaning all through the Old Testament, waiting for Jesus to come. And looked like the devil had more power, that he was taking advantage of them. But they was waiting for Jesus to come. They was waiting for grace. Grace was not as much in the Old Testament as it is now. For the grace of God that brings salvation, the grace of God that helps us when we need help, the grace of God that have shined on us and fallen on us is my God. We cannot explain it. We can't interpret it altogether, but it's his grace, and by him we live, we move, and we have our being. And so Paul said in verse 23, he said, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, here's the thing. He said, we waiting for the firstborn adoption. That was Jesus Christ. He is the firstborn that was adopted, and we're waiting for him. And we don't have to wait any longer because he's here. He's with us. He's nigh us. You know, an adoption is a place of a son. You're waiting for the son. That's what Paul was saying, that people in the Old Testament were waiting for him. We have what they was waiting for. We have God, Jesus Christ, Lord's son. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We have him. And so what are we doing? The revelation of God, glory through the believers. That's right. We got to let our light shine. There's somebody need to know that God is still living. It, regardless, during this time of turbulence in our White House, during this time of turbulence in the voting and all of this stuff and all of these things that are going on, folks are looking at us. But what we got to understand, God have not forsaken us. God is yet in our presence. God is yet waiting for us to travail. God is yet waiting for us in the presence of the evil to stand still and see his salvation, to stand still and know that he is God, to stand still and know that God is going to make a way out of no way. Now, he's for us to wit that the redemption that on the that was on the cross that we saw Jesus die. We didn't see him die, but we know he died. We know that he was buried. We know he rose on the third day. And when we believe that, then Jesus came into our heart and he made reservation. We made reservation for him to come into our heart. And then it's in him we live, we move, and we have our being. And I want you to understand something. We are not alone. We are not left out. We are not forsaken. And regardless, if things don't go right in this and somebody they reverse it or whatever they do, God is still on the throne. He already knows what's going to happen. He knows what's going to happen. And we be satisfied in the Son of Jesus Christ. Let's be satisfied in him. Whatever take place, let's just believe God and trust God. And all things give thanks unto God. And let's pray for our world. Let's pray for the peace. Let's pray for our joy. Let's pray for sickness. Let's pray for a commitment to stand with God regardless of what happened. Our hope is not in our system. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And that's what God wants us to do. He's revealing this to us. We never saw anything like this. We never saw. This is a long, think about this year, 2020. And 20 is the number of expectation. Look at all the expectation we have. We expected every day that they would get something to take care of this virus. We was expecting every day for our children not to get this disease, our home, our mother, our father, our grandfather, all of these things. Expectation every day. We expecting God to do something that he never did before because we're in something that we've never been in before. We never, none of us never saw this time before. So we're in something that we never saw before. And it's just like, we got to be just like the world. The world know that every year they come out with extra Tylenol. They put a little something extra in. They can put one ingredient in. Now it's extra Tylenol, extra this, extra that. Well, what we got to do, let's put in some extra prayer. Let's put in some extra fasting. Let's put in some extra, get some extra joy. Let's get some extra strength from the Lord so we can stand against the wiles of the devil. And this is what Paul is getting us ready for, telling us to get ready for. Then in verse 23, he said, and not only they, but ourselves, we have this first fruit of the Spirit, even ourselves grown within ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. That's what we want to do. We want to understand that God have redeemed us. We are the redeemed. That's right. We are redeemed. It may not appear to us who we are, but my God, when we see him as he is, so we would be. So don't think that you're not redeemed. You are redeemed. You are a child of God. You're not some little lonely a pauper standing by yourself. You're not by yourself, but greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So understand then that we need some extra prayer. We need some extra fasting. We need some extra dedication. We need to be getting on our knees more than we ever did before. And we are redeemed. We are God redeemed folks. And you got to understand that you are redeemed. My God, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We are redeemed. And I know I got Brother Hebrew. I got Brother Kennebrew now praying with me and many of you others are praying with me. We are going to make it through this turmoil. Don't worry about it. We're going to make it. Now, let me tell you something else. While we're waiting on God, look at verse 24. Verse 24 said, for we have saved, we were saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? See, what you don't see, that's what faith come in. Faith is the substance of the things you're hoping for. Faith is the legs of the particles, the matter, and whatever matter is, the raw material that it need to bring it into reality. And so what you're hoping for, what you see, you don't have to hope for that. We see some of this stuff. We don't have to hope for that. But what we use our faith for is what we can't see. We can't see the virus. So therefore, we need to use our faith for the virus. Not not only this coronavirus, for the flu and for all these other things going on, for heart problem, for not only the heart problem, for diabetes, not only diabetes, but for strokes, not only strokes, the people's in accident and people's are taking part, people's suicide mind, people's are depressed, people's are taking their life, they're taking their children's life. We got a lot to pray for, and we got a lot of things to be to intercede for, not just this one thing, for our country the way it's messed up, and Democrats, Republican, Libertarian, and all of this stuff going on. But don't worry about it. God is still in charge. That's what he wants us to know. He's still in charge. He's working, and we don't know it. And this is what Paul is trying to tell us. Open up your eyes. Stop hoping for stuff that you see. What you can see, you can do something about it. But what you can't see, that's what you need to hope for. And then in verse 25, but if you hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And wait is the same word, wait, is the same Greek word for tribulation and trials. Hupomone, it means abiding under the pressure. That means that we are under pressure, but act the same. Don't walk around with your head down because you're under pressure. Don't allow the devil to know that he's putting pain and bringing pressure on you. You should, that's what you remain the same. Patient is to remain the same, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what they say, you remain the same. And when you remain the same, the devil cannot figure out, how is it I put all this and I allow this to happen? How is they still standing? How is they still doing? Well, greater is he is in us than he that's in the world. So you abide under the pressure. And my God, you remain the same. God is not changed. Don't change. And then look what he said in verse 26. Likewise, my God, this is what I like. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth. The Spirit helpeth our infirmity. My God, listen, look what he said. His helpeth our weakness. His helpeth. Now, we got to understand, and this word helpeth is not just say, oh, God, take care of all our problems. That is not what it's saying. No, it doesn't say that. That's why you're still in the problem. He said he helpeth. That's right. He helpeth. And it takes four Greek words to bring that continuation of helpeth along. That's right. Soon te lambandas, bandas. Now, what does it mean? It means that if God, you want God to help you, you take hold of it. God take hold of it. That's right. That's what that word means. To take hold of the opposite together. That means if you ask me to help you, that mean that you take hold of it too. Don't tell me to help you and then you don't pick up nothing. You're not doing nothing but watching me. You didn't ask me to watch you. You asked me to help you. And you think God is just watching you do nothing and lay down and crying and whining and everything. He wants you to get up and do something. Get up and stand up. Most of the people that God healed, he told them to get up. Get up. And when they thought they couldn't get up, he said, get up. And he helped them to get up. Now you got to make some effort. You don't know how to pray as you ought. But God himself, he sent the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit comes in and it gives you some moaning and groaning, and you got to say what you hear the Spirit saying. You don't have to worry about the interpreting. You don't have to be like, what does it mean? I don't know what it means. You know, there's a lot of things you don't know what they mean, but you do it. You follow the direction. You don't know why when you hit the electrical switch, the light comes on. You don't have to sit up there, oh, where did it go? How did it happen? What made it come on? All you do is hit the switch. Just do your part and let God do his part. He's already did what he's going to do. And so you do your part. He helpeth our infirmity. He helpeth our weakness. That's what Paul is telling us. He helpeth our weakness. If you take hold of it, know what we should pray for. We don't know what we should pray for all the time. Sometimes when people ask us to pray for them, we may be praying a wrong prayer. We have put our assumption in. So God, you know everything. And so he maketh intercession for us with groaning that cannot be uttered or articulated. He does that. And then it said, the Spirit searches all things. Thank God that the Spirit searches all things. The deep things of God, the Spirit searches those things. And so we don't have to be trying to search out everything. God already know what it is. He already know what it is. And he searches the deep things of the heart. My God, who knows the heart of a man except God? He knows all the things. For the Spirit of the God, they say, the Bible said, it's a light, and it searches all of the deep things of God. The deep things of God. So God have turned on the light, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, but it didn't comprehend it. And so he shined out of darkness. That's what it said. He shined out of darkness. The dark places that the devil have gotten in and think he got a hole where you can't get to God. God said, then if the darkness don't comprehend me, I'll shine out of it. I'll make the darkness go around, go away. Here's the thing that you got to understand. This is the way God do. The thing that you understand, said, why when you turn the lights on, what happened to the darkness? The darkness is still there, but the light is so much greater than the darkness that you can't see the darkness for looking at the light. And so that's what you got to understand. In God, oh my God, I'm feeling good here now. What God does, he just needs to turn on the light. And when he's turned on the light, darkness cannot operate. Darkness cannot operate. But if it keeps you in the darkness, it's a lot of things you can't see in the darkness. And so we got to get our mind set that in verse 27, he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. And that's what the Spirit do. The Holy Ghost know what the mind of the Spirit is. He know what you're saying because he maketh intercession. He intercedes for us and the saints according to the will of God. So sometimes we are praying. We don't know. We got our mouth open. We just talking and saying, oh God, what is this? What is this? And our mouth is open. And we're just like Hannah did. She prayed out of herself and she was Eli saw her at the thing. He thought she was drunk because her mouth was moving, but she wasn't saying anything. That's when God intercede for us. Sometimes we don't know what to say. Sometimes we don't know what to do. But God comes in. He sent his Spirit in and intercede for us. And when he intercede for us, that's when we know that God wants us to know what's going on in our life. That's right. He wants us to know how he's going to bless us. He wants us to know that he's going to bring us out of this. And let me tell you something. God have not left us in the dark. That's right. Thank you, Jesus. He have not left us in the dark. The light's on. Tell somebody, tell yourself, say the light's on and God sees what's in me. He sees what's in me. He's revealing to me now what's in me. He's revealing to me that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. He's revealing to me that he got a blessing waiting on me. He's revealing to me that he's going to see us through this calamity. He's going to see us through this virus. He's going to see us through these tough times. And let me tell you something. Tough people are made for tough times. So the tougher the time get, the tougher we get. That's right. That's don't bow down to the devil. We are tough peoples in God. We are no pushover. We are no babies. We are no not crying. We are not on a pacifier. We are on milk. And milk is for strong people. Meat, we are eating meat. You can live on milk, but you need some meat. And you ought to be time now to get some meat and let this milk go. Because God have not left us in the dark. We're not in the dark. The light's on and it's shining. And he shined in the midst of it. And when Satan did not want to, the darkness did not comprehend it, then he shined out of darkness. Now, the second thing I want you to know is God's job to work it out for good. That's right. That's what he said. All things work together for good for them that are in God. He didn't say everything was good, but he works it out for your good. So what you're going through now, you're going to one day you're going to rejoice. One day you're going to get joy in telling your children or your grandchildren, if you live long enough, telling your grandchildren how God brought you through 2020. You're going to get joy out of that. They will not believe what you had to walk around with masks on. They won't believe that the thing that you had to go through. They won't believe that people were lined up around the corner to get toilet tissue and toilet paper and get some of the things. They won't believe that. But look where God has brought us from. You got a testimony on the inside of you. You got a book on the inside of you, and all God want to do is bring it out of you. So don't you ever think that God is through with you. Don't you ever think that this is the end of it and ain't nothing else I can do about it. All you know it is. It's our job that we have to do is just keep loving God. That's right. It's just keep loving God. And this is what the Bible said. We should love the Lord with all our heart, our soul, our might, our strength, everything within us. Let's love God. And let me tell you, folks, let us just keep loving God. Let us just keep doing the right thing. And God got a great blessing for us. I'm getting ready to bring this thing to a close, but in my closing, I want to say to you that this is what God wants to reveal to you. There's some things that God's going to reveal to you, and he can't reveal them to you now, because if God revealed them to you now, it'll blow your mind. You're not ready for it. God does not bless us with what we want. He blesses us with what we qualify for. And how do you qualify? On your knees, in your car, driving, you're praising God. You're praising God when you stand. You're praising God when you're walking. If you're taking a daily walk, of you're praising God. If you're getting up on your knees, you're praising God. If you're driving, you're praising him. And then in everything we do, let's praise God. And the more we praise him, the more joy he'll give us, the more peace he'll give us, the more he'll show things to us, the more greater is he. Listen, I want you to understand this. God is getting ready to bless him. And some of you got a blessing coming that you won't be able to receive it. That's right. You won't be able to receive it. You never thought that God would do all this stuff for you. You never thought that God would save your home. You never thought that God would give you money to pay your rent and you didn't, you wasn't working. You never thought that God would open a door for you and somebody that you don't don't know, would just step in and take over what you owe. You never thought this, but let me tell you something. God got a man, he got a woman that's going to stand in, and that woman and that man is going to be able to do some things for you, because God worked through people. God do not supernaturally drop you no money out of heaven. God do not supernaturally invent money, not invent it, but create money just for you to have it, and you wake up and there's thousands of dollars on your pillow. No, he goes through man. When Abraham, he told Abraham that he made the covenant with Abraham, and Abraham, that's the reason he sent the two angels to Sodom and Gomorrah, because he knew that Abraham said, if they come down to 10, if there's 10 there, God, would you save the city? Would you spare the city? And so God, just to prove to Abraham, he sent the angels there, the soul, the deceiver, there are 10 folk that was ready, was believing in him, and there was not 10 found. Even Lot was no good. He had lost everything he had, but because the covenant he had with Abraham, he brought Lot out, his nephew out, and he had to drag him out. The angels had to drag him out, and so God is going to do some things for some of us, even if he has to drag us out. He going to say, I'm not going to let the devil do this, and God is right now telling the devil there's something the devil wanted to do to you, wanted to kill you, wanted to bondage, put you in bondage, but God said you can't touch him. Just like he told him you can't touch Job, you can't touch his life. And so God have brought us this far. We come this far by faith, and I'm saying to you, let God reveal his glory in you. Let God get the glory. Don't try to say what I did and I'm doing this and that, but the glory is God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The glory is God. I would like for you that have enjoyed this or didn't enjoy it. If you didn't enjoy it, share it. Somebody else may enjoy it. Somebody else may need this. Maybe I wasn't talking to you. Maybe this was not you. You already prayed up. You already got all these things. You don't need them, but there's somebody that need them. And if you post it where that I don't go, you post it on those things, put it on those things, send it out. Let somebody else get it, and you'll help. You'll help spreading the gospel. You'll help giving the ministry, because this is moments of inspiration. And that's all I come on here for, is moments of inspiration. I don't come in on here to promote myself. I am nothing but a child of God. So I don't come on here to promote myself. I don't come on here to promote my ministry. I come to promote some inspiration into other folks' life. And I've been with God, living for God for 56 years. I've been for God. That's right, 56 years. So I'm not a novice. I'm not somebody person that's just looking for somebody to pat me on the back. If you don't pat me on the back, I made it to this far without a lot of pats on the back. And I'm going to continue to do and go where God wants me to go without pats on the back. All right. God bless you today. And let me, before I pray, well, let me pray for you. If whatever you're thinking about, whatever you're going through, I want to include you in my prayer today. That's right. I want to include you in my prayer. And I see you, Mara. We're going to do it. We're going to include all of you in our prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for what you've already done, and I thank you, God, for what you're going to do. Now, God, these that are listening, as they spread it, God, and as they post it, you bless them, God, for the things that would help other folk. That means that they was preaching the gospel also. And I'm praying, God, that you remember every one of them. I'm praying, God, that you would God, let your word, your engrafted word, move in their heart, break yokes, pull down stronghold. In the name of Jesus, Satan, I bind you now. Take your hand off of God's property. We belong to you. I open up the door. I pray that the floodgates of heaven will be open, and that you would pull them out a blessing, God, that they will not be able to receive. I pray, God, and that you pull down stronghold. I pray for the sick. I pray for those, God, that are going through, those on ventilator. I pray for those that are suffering, God, with respiratory problem. I pray for those that are going through with heart problem. God, those that are going through with strokes, that had a stroke and they can't move them. They're immobile, but God, bring them back. Give them their energy back. Give them, God, their limb motion back. Give them, God, the motivation to come out of that. Those that may be in a coma, bring them out of it, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Whatever sickness they have, whatever, if they've been in a car accident or some hardship and financial fraud, save that house, God. Save them, God. Don't let them be put out in rent for their rent, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for miracles, God, in the name of Jesus. And thank you, God, for our help. We are willing to take hold of, God, and help us right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen and amen. Listen, if you are not saved and you don't know Jesus Christ, as your Lord and as your Savior, then I want you to pray this prayer with me now. Say, Lord, forgive me for all of my sins. I know I'm a sinner, God, and I'm asking Jesus Christ, the one that died and was buried and on the third day rose again, I want him to come into my heart and save me from this untold generation, and I will serve him for the rest of my life. If you pray that prayer, you are now saved. You're a child of God. And I know somebody says it's too easy, and I know they would say, you know, that's why God said, my yoke are easy and my burdens are light. Now, you believe that. You stay with it. Somebody going to tell you you're not saved. Don't worry about that. You find a good church and you get in that church and you work with the ministry and watch God grow you. Let God grow you and let God do things for you and show you and give you all of these things that I've told you about this morning, because God wants to show his revelation to you. That's right. He wants to work through us at his revelation. He wants to work through us. Now, if you we are embarking upon you, and I'm asking you, we want to give at least 100 or 200 boxes of food, the whole Thanksgiving basket, a box that got everything that they need, the pumpkin pie or for potato pies or for the potatoes that go with it, the dressing, all the stuff, a box for family. And we want to do that in 2 weeks from now. And if you want to share an offering to help us out, be liberal and help us out. And whatever you send, if you put mission on it, you can do it from PushPay, and all you have to say is put mission. And when my secretary see it, this goes towards the food program. If you want to mail it in, 135 West Victoria Street here in the city of Long Beach, California. Again, 135 West Victoria Street here in the city of Long Beach, California, 90805. You can do that and just put Great Open Door on the check. Just Great Open Door Worldwide Ministry. Don't have to write it out. G-O-D, just G-O-D, period. And then W-W-M, Great Open Door Worldwide Ministry. And you will be blessing a many people. We don't know how many folk are going to come, and if we are able to give 100 or 200 boxes out, if there's anything left over, it's going to go towards Christmas, because we want to do the same thing for Christmas. And you that don't have a church, you would like to be a part of Great Open Door, one of the virtual members, we will take you in as a virtual member and treat you as a member. That's right. You would give you all the rights that a member have in Great Open Door and give you information about Greater Open Door. And we thank God for you and your tithe. Our members, thank you for your tithing. Thank you for your offering. Thank you, there's not members, for your tithing and for your offering. We thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And may God best be yours. And as I finish, I appreciate every one of you that tunes in. I appreciate every one of you that posts. I appreciate every one of you that don't post. That's right. I just appreciate you having an opportunity that God has put into my heart to share moments of inspiration. So until next week, and I want again at the close, I said it at the beginning, but some may not have heard it. Every veteran, this is Veteran Day. Every veteran, you have my congratulations. And those that have lost loved ones in any of the war, you have my condolences. These are great men and women that have served to intervene for us. That's why we're still standing today, simply because the loyalty and your commitment to the military, whatever branch it was. And so may God bless you and thank you so much. And for what you're doing, thank you so much for posting. In Jesus' name, God bless you all. Jesus on us.